This podcast is for information only and should not be considered legal advice. There is no representation that the legal services to be performed by LOCA are better than the services of other attorneys. There is no guarantee of the outcome. Success is rendered on a case-by-case basis. Welcome, everyone, to the Legally Blind Justice Podcast. I'm Tim Markley. I'm your host. And today we're going to be talking about some new regulations that were just put out by the Biden administration related to Title IX. Now, Title IX is the landmark legislation that was aimed at preventing sex discrimination in education, and it's gone under a significant rewrite this year. These revisions mark substantial changes in the rules and procedures related to discrimination, harassment, and violence in an educational setting. So it's important to be aware of these changes and to understand them, because if you're ever accused of a Title IX violation, you need to know what rights you have and what the due process is that you're afforded. So I want to go over some of those critical changes that were just put out. First, we expanded the scope of prohibited discrimination. The 2024 regulations broaden the scope of prohibited discrimination beyond just sex to include sex characteristics, pregnancy or related conditions, sexual orientation, and gender identity. This expansion reflects a much more inclusive understanding of discrimination. The regulations expand Title IX's prohibitions to include discrimination or harassment based on orientation and gender identity, consistent with the Supreme Court's interpretation in Bostick versus Clayton County. They also prohibit policies and practices that prevent students from participating in programs consistent with gender identity, with a few exceptions. Next is they're going to redefine what sexual harassment is. The definition of sexual harassment now encompasses a broader range of behaviors termed sex-based harassment. This includes various forms of harassment, such as quid pro quo harassment, assault, dating violence, domestic violence, and stalking, along with hostile environment harassment. The regulations lower the threshold of what a hostile environment is to include any unwelcomed sex-based conduct that, based on the totality of the circumstances, is subjectively and objectively offensive, or is so severe or pervasive that it limits or denies a person's ability to participate or benefit from the educational program. A huge change is it extends Title IX's processes and procedures. It now addresses sex-based hostile environments in all educational institution programs or activities, even those occurring outside the United States or beyond the institution's direct purview. This expansion of jurisdiction is a significant development that you need to be aware of. Before this, or under the current rules, to be a Title IX offense, it had to happen primarily on a school property or on a school-sponsored trip in the United States. This now means that if two students engage in an activity and one of them alleges sexual violence and that happens off campus, it now can fall under the school's Title IX rules. It also changes the definitions and the rules from actual knowledge to a deliberate indifference standard. So schools are now required to respond promptly to any conduct that may reasonably constitute sex discrimination within their programs. A huge due process change that you need to be aware of is a return to what's called the single investigator model. Under the current rules, when you report a Title IX violation, the person who investigates that allegation cannot be the person who also makes the decision. It typically goes to a hearing with either a single panel adjudicator or a large panel adjudicator. Under these revised regulations, institutions can employ a single investigator model for handling complaints. The claim is that this streamlines the process while ensuring fairness and impartiality. I have serious concerns about that. the person who investigates the matter should not be the person who decides the matter. While it appears more efficient on the surface, it has been criticized by experts in Title IX for its lack of due process protections, its potential for bias, and the increased likelihood of overlooking a lot of crucial facts. Despite these concerns, the new rules allow colleges to use a single investigative framework within its draft Title IX rules. Civil liberty advocates and Title IX practitioners argue that such a move could erode trust in the college Title IX process. And as someone who has worked with a lot of students on Title IX issues, I understand this and I believe it so. I think having the person who investigates it and then the person who makes the decision as a different person is a much better and fairer process. There is continued access to the informal resolution under the Title IX rules. The regulations offer the option for an informal resolution with certain exceptions, and it does provide a little bit more flexibility in resolving issues outside of the formal process. The other thing that the new Title IX rules do is they expand the scope of who has to report an alleged Title IX violation. So the regulation broadens this group of employees who must notify Title IX coordinators when they have information that the conduct reasonably may constitute discrimination. They don't have to know it for sure, but if they think it may be a Title IX violation, they've got to report it under the Title IX rules. It does have a group of what's called confidential employees who aren't required to make that report. And this typically includes people such as school attorneys who have confidentiality and client privilege. It expands the Title IX roles, coordinator roles, considerably. The rules now impose a duty on the Title IX coordinators to more actively monitor programs and activities for sex discrimination. So in the past, they've been kind of passive. You bring the problem to them, then they go ahead and investigate. Now they're saying is they're going to have to go from this receptive kind of mode to a much more proactive mode and monitor programs and activities. They've also got to seek out barriers to reporting that may prevent the Title IX coordinator from learning about discrimination. So this is a much more expanded role for that Title IX coordinator at your school. A new class of folks who have been added to Title IX is students who are pregnant. So there are enhanced provisions to mandate reasonable modification for pregnant individuals. These accommodations can include private spaces for both students and employees. This is a significant shift in how educational institutions address and prevent discrimination. Although these rules are going to present some challenges, and there are things that will have to be considered. All of these schools are going to have to update their policies with expanded definitions, procedures outlined in the new regulations, particularly as it regards to LGBTQT, pregnancy, and those kinds of accommodations. Comprehensive training for all employees is now going to be crucial to ensure compliance. Institutions are going to have to evaluate and potentially revise grievance procedures to accommodate these changes while trying to ensure fairness and due process for all parties. They're going to have to add rules for off-campus behavior. The regulations for Title IX now extend to off-campus conduct that contribute to this hostile environment. They're going to require institutions to address the incidents beyond immediate jurisdictions. And then K-12, which has always been slightly different than universities, also has a few more changes. All non-confidential employees must notify the Title IX coordinator about any conduct that could reasonably be considered sex discrimination. And that notice of allegations does not have to be in writing. It can be a verbal piece. Now, I would tell colleges, universities, and K-12 that everything really should be in writing. So as we navigate the terrain of Title IX, it's clear that the landscape of protections against discrimination has undergone a significant evolution. Now, these new rules are not expected to be in place until August 1st. That's when they'll be officially published. There have already been 15 lawsuits filed against these new Title IX regulations.
So what we may see is a delay in the implementation of these rules. So don't be surprised if that happens. But as I've said there, these rules are significant. And the one for me, in my perspective, in terms of working with students accused of Title IX, is that the return to a single investigator model really raises concerns about due process and fairness to everyone. And as institutions grapple with that policy and other new policies, more training requirements and procedural revisions, it's really essential to understand that there are going to be challenges if you're a student who's accused of Title IX. Students will need help to investigate these new rules and to navigate the process. And at Kay Altman Law, we stand ready to assist and protect you with that process because we've helped hundreds of Title IX students over the course of the last several years. So thank you for listening to our podcast. If you're in trouble, remember to give us a call or check us out at kaltmanlaw.com because the school has lawyers. They've got folks who can help them with those policies. You need someone on your side who understands what Title IX is, who understands the changes that are coming in Title IX, and can be your advocate throughout the process.